prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Isn't that how we sing it in the hymn? Weary, worn, shattered, just exhausted. These are all things that we as believers will experience in our walk and relationship with Christ. It just happens. We are still sin-drenched. There is nothing good in me that is in my flesh, right? Says Paul. Well, today we have some help and some hope if you find yourself weary. Gospel endurance for the weary. We're in Hebrews chapter 10, looking at verses 32 through 39. This is Abounding Grace, and with today's broadcast, let's catch up with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Remember, the goal is always to help us and to keep us in this from this path of apostasy. What do we need? You need endurance. We have need of endurance. What is it that often causes people to defect from the Christian faith? Again, we're not saying in any of this that if you have true salvation, it can be lost. That's an impossibility. God doesn't take his gifts back. If I ask that question, though, what is it that causes people to defect from the confession, the profession of faith? It's giving up. In the course of your life, you know this. There are absolute times when you are worn out and you feel like giving up. You know, for them, listen, it was a political nightmare in the first century. All this hardship, they were actually being persecuted. They were facing actual persecution. And they were facing actual pain for following Jesus. And you know what they started saying? It's not worth it. You know, if this is all that the kingdom of God is, and this is all the power that it supplies, and we can't see Jesus, it'd be better just to go back to the accepted religion of Judaism that doesn't face this kind of persecution. They were worn out. Now, what does he do? He knows this. So he goes back to their past. It's surprising what he says in verse 32. Look at it. But recall, now notice carefully what he says, the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings. That's a remarkable statement. That is a remarkable statement. He says, recall after light had been given to you. Recall when you had been regenerated or converted. And you knew in your experience that your eyes had been opened, light had been shown to you. You remember that? You endured really difficult things then. Have you forgotten that? Sometimes I, you know, want to say this to grandparents. You've forgotten what you used to endure when you raised children, didn't you? You can take our kids and learn that over, can't you? But it's kind of true, isn't it? As you get older, you just can't do things you did. You wear out. Remember what you used to endure? He rehearses some of it. He says, publicly, you were exposed to reproach and affliction. And sometimes you were partners with those so treated. I recall how many of you had compassion on those in prison. That means that some of these very church members had been imprisoned for the faith. They were being mocked by the culture. They were being ridiculed by the culture, stupid. Remember that? And then the big one. I think this is meant to stand out in this page to us like nothing else. And you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property. You did what? We did what? Yeah, you did that. Let that sink in. Can you imagine that being said to an American Christian today? Really? Think about it just for a minute. It couldn't be said. You know, we're praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. You know, then we're good. I don't know how their property was taken. by the government, or when probably maybe when they went to prison, people just went and took it? Doesn't it just stand out? You joyfully accepted the plundering of your property in this life. They found themselves in a situation that they could do nothing about. You know, you can talk big about fighting the government, but almost all the time the government's going to win. You have two options. You imagine here, you know, how would you get through that? You know, how would you get through it if things got that bad that they were plundering our property? Two options. Number one, you fight. Or number two, you joyfully accept it. That's shocking. He captures what was their perspective, how they could ever joyfully accept that. What does he say? He says, you got through that. Why? Because in your hearts and in your minds, you believed you had a better inheritance and an enduring possession in heaven. I'm not sure a post-mill theonomist could say that today. Their whole perspective was that their home was in heaven. That's how they got through it. They believed that here they had no enduring city. The eschatology, what we say of the New Testament, doesn't make this earth in its current form our home. They got through all the hardship, listen, believing that with Abraham they had a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's in the next chapter. That's how they handled the hardships. We do it all the time, beloved. This is how you handle the hardships. This is how you've always handled the hardships. What do you mean? Somebody dies. Where are you getting any hope? You get hope from the resurrection. There's a resurrection coming. This isn't it. It's a short time. I get sick. There's hope. This is not the end. I lose everything in this life. I got a better inheritance. That's how we're taught to think. That's how the Lord has framed our minds to think. My question is this today. Does that mean that what they were now faced with was worse? Not at all. You see, the author knows the parable of the sower. When tribulation comes because of the word, remember what Jesus said? Many don't endure. They kind of sprung up quickly because they came to Jesus in false pretenses. They thought it was just health and wealth. Everything would be great. And they don't endure when tribulation comes because of the word and they lose things. See, I think he's looking at them thinking, that's not what I saw in you. Evidence before was you did endure. You did endure. So what's going on now? Notice what he says. So therefore, don't cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance now, he says. See? Well, if their present circumstance wasn't any worse than before, why were some on a pathway to apostasy? Why were they assembling the forsaking and the assembling together in worship as was the manner of some? Why were some doing that? Why were some giving up? Well, you know, if you look over this in your time as a minister, I've seen a lot of people along the way not endure. They don't endure. And you just look at generally in life. They don't endure in their callings in life. They don't endure conflict. They don't endure their marriage. They're always on the run. They're always on the run. We have need of endurance in every commitment. But there's one commitment that is most important. endurance in the faith. Endurance in the kingdom of God. Endurance in his church. You know what this pathway was? It was just said earlier. Don't give up worship. Don't give up on the body of Christ. Yeah, it's not glamorous in this life. You're not getting the show right now in this life. The pathway was one of giving up on Christ himself. Why? Well, oftentimes just through the deceitfulness of sin. We looked at that. But there's another reason I think you know. It faces all of you in your commitment to Christ and his kingdom. If their present hardships were no different than before, what's going on now? Why are they here? The difference was the hardship wore them out. It wore them out. Think of how much weariness people experience. You know, think of just after this COVID ordeal. You know, we saw a lot of people in just COVID life, post-COVID life, not enduring much. They didn't endure work. Endure life. Some didn't endure life. Most people lost motivation. The long protracted struggles of faith and life, what do people do when you have conflict and it wears you out? Well, what's he concerned about in the church? Withdrawal. Isolation. Retreat. Abandoning Christ in the mission. You've had enough hardship, haven't you? And the things you handled better yesterday, you don't seem to have the strength for today. I know it. Some of you are here, you just can't handle things the way you used to, especially with age. It doesn't get easier. It doesn't get easier. What do? They check out. They lose a drive in life. You realize that the circumstances and the hardships can put you on the same path, and we lose confidence in Christ and his kingdom. We lose confidence of what we're a part of. You have to be aware of this. I've seen people who've been in the church all their life and been faithful members, and then the weirdness of the conflict, boom, they're gone. Over the most ridiculous of reasons. I've seen people early on so invested in the kingdom of God, the conflict has changed them. Where are you today? You have need of endurance, he says. I'm not talking about putting up with stuff. You have need of endurance. It means constancy. Under suffering, under in the faith. Many have noted this has athletic overtones. The author very much uses that in this book. You're in a great contest. You know, runners know this. You have to run with endurance. It's going to say that in the next chapter. Endurance is key for runners. Endurance is key in the Christian faith. You have need of endurance, verse 36. Now notice this. Listen, this is such an encouragement. That after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. What's he saying there? He's saying this. God has a will for you. You have a real big purpose in life. Your present circumstance is not just happening willy-nilly. There's a great purpose, and anyone who's facing depression, and anyone who's facing wavering knows that the way out of it is by purpose, is by motivation, is by goal. is by getting up, by knowing why you're here. And notice what he's doing. Do you realize that the hardships, the persecutions, the sufferings, now listen, this is hard for us, they're all appointed. Until you accept that, you will drift. You think God just dishes out easy assignments and gives us a cushion to ride onto in the kingdom? He's concerned about the way that they're looking at things. Their decision is retreat. And he says, but God has a will for you. God has a will for you. And he's appointed you to be a member of his church and his kingdom. You have a place. It's not, you have a place. It's his will for you to give yourself to that in the assignment that he gave you. Isn't this what Paul said to Philippians? Listen, it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe, but also to suffer for his name's sake. Belief and suffer is appointed and granted to you. He wants you to look at things this way. That every hardship and suffering is an opportunity to fulfill the will of God for you. Not retreat. To drop off in isolation and bitterness and give up. That's not the will of God for you. You're not handling it right. And the motivation for this is Christ himself. It was God's will to bruise him for you, who endured hardship, entrusting himself to the one who judges justly. Whenever you look at the life of your Savior, all you see is endurance. And why do we see endurance? For you, to save you. And it was endurance. And one thing drove our Savior. One food drove him every single day. What did he keep saying? To do the will of my Father. Because he knew his whole life was planned out according to the purpose, foreknowledge, purpose, plan, and foreknowledge of God, that he had a divine will to fulfill to save you. Now doesn't that's used to incentivize us. You see, don't throw away your confidence is what he's saying. Don't do that. It's going to be richly rewarded. You're going to be richly rewarded. It's a short time. It's coming. You really do. I think the author of Hebrews was a basketball coach. I'm convinced of it. He's a coach. I know we get nervous about it. He's a coach. I know a coach when I hear one. Now, I don't say that in the sort of silly way that it's often used. I know that. How do you stir up one another to love and good works? See, the way of casting off confidence is abandonment, neglect, isolation, departure, loneliness, emptiness, anger, bitterness, and so on. The way of endurance is fulfilling the will of God. And I think that's why the author said, consider others, because he knows that you are most happy. Listen to me. You are most happy when you are serving somebody else other than yourself. That is renewing. That is energizing. Just is. We have need of endurance. The long periods of hardship and suffering place us on a pathway of casting off confidence. Beware of it, he says. Look at how you handled these things before when you were just given the light. Your present experience is to be the same. And then let's close just briefly with this. But think about the future just for a minute. After you've done the will of God, after you've suffered a little while, it's just a short time, there's a big reward. You will receive the promise. And he brings together two verses to close this. He brings together, it's really shocking, he brings together Isaiah 26:20, just a few words out of that. For a little while. For a little while. It's Isaiah 26:20. He pulls that right out of that passage. Now I'm going to read Isaiah 26:20. Listen to it. Go, my people, enter your rooms, Shut the doors behind you. Hide yourselves for a little while until the wrath is passed by. See, the Lord is coming out of his dwelling to punish the people of the earth for their sins. He's saying you're not going to face that. He's been saying that. When the day comes, when Christ comes, he's going to hide you from his wrath. But he singles out for a little while. For a little while. And he connects it with this. And he who is coming, Habakkuk 2, will come and not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. What is he saying to you? It's just a little while. Live by faith. Live by faith. I want you to live by faith. The Lord is coming and his reward is with him. And what that means is that in the hardships and difficulties and losses and sufferings, even in the delay of Christ's coming, which is hard in and of itself, you have need of endurance. I want to make sure you've heard me correctly today. I don't for a minute believe that the saints can endure and persevere themselves. He's calling them to it. But when I read, you have need of endurance, that after we fulfill the will of God, I also know that's a gift of his grace. And isn't that what the last line is saying to us? Notice how he says it. We are not of those. We are not of those who draw back to perdition. We are not apostates who renounce the faith in hardship. We are not those who give up on Christ. We are not those who despise our confession, even if our property were taken. But we are those who believe to the saving of the soul. That's who we are. That's a gospel statement. And that's meant to encourage you. Jesus said, all that the Father gives to me will come to me, and I will not lose one of them. No matter the surprising, fiery trial that comes upon us, he has said the Spirit of glory and of God will rest upon us. So we don't lose heart in the struggle. Men ought always to pray and not lose heart, said Jesus. You have need of endurance. So ask him for it. Ask him for it. Didn't he say earlier, for whatever your need is, he gives you grace and help in time of need. If your need is endurance, ask him for it. Lord, grant me to endure whatever you have for me. Give me a content heart with Christ, his church and worship, because in you I have everything I need. Don't lose heart, dear Christians. It's just a short time. Just a little while. And after you've suffered for a while, he shall himself perfect, establish, and strengthen you in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Now, this has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon and our time together studying God's Word. It is our hope and prayer you come away from our time together encouraged in that time of study. If you have questions or comments about the radio program, your own walk with Christ, we would love to hear from you. Now, you can reach out to us at our website, agradio.org. Again, that's agradio.org. You'll find past programs that you can review at your convenience, as well as other platforms you can sign up and follow us on, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Those links are all, again, at our website, agradio.org. You're also welcome to reach out to us by phone. That number is 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Abounding Grace Radio is a listener-supported ministry. Simply put, you are a vital, important cog in this wheel of ministry, if you will. Through your financial and prayerful support, we are able to continue this radio ministry here on the station you're listening to right now. Would you prayerfully consider getting involved financially and, most importantly, prayerfully? And then let us know. Again, you can give us a call at 888 504-8805 or visit agradio.org and drop us a note there. And then come back and join us next time as our studies will continue here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.